This is episode number 12 with up and rising Tableau expert Megan Putney. Welcome to the Super Data Science Podcast. My name is Kirill Eremenko, data science coach and lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you inspiring people and ideas to help you build your successful career in data science. Thanks for being here today, and now let's make the complex simple. Hello and welcome to the Super Data Science Podcast. I'm very excited to have you on the show. And as you may know, I have quite a few analytics courses out there. They range on different topics on R, Python, Tableau, machine learning, and so on. In fact, we have a whole platform for all of these things, Super Data Science. Well, today our guest is Megan Putney, who is one of my students on the Tableau course. And Megan is a very, very interesting person. She just started learning Tableau only 3 months ago. And as you will see from this podcast, she is already rocking it in the world of analytics. I was very surprised. I didn't know that Megan has only been taking Tableau for 3 months, because when we were talking through the podcast, I kind of got the impression that through the things she's doing, she must have been already using Tableau for a year or a year and a half. But when she said it's only 3 months, you'll even hear me being quite shocked on the episode itself. So, you know, it just stands to show that when you want to learn something, you can really pick it up very quickly online. So that's going to be one of our focuses for this episode, learning online. And it will really benefit you if you are in that same boat, that you're trying to learn a skill online, whether it is Tableau or it isn't. Maybe you're trying to learn other skills, but you'll kind of see the process that Megan went through, from not knowing a tool, which was introduced at her workplace, to actually mastering it to a very good level. And also, specifically, we'll talk about Tableau in quite a lot of detail. We'll talk about how Megan uses Tableau for two types of work. First of all, Megan creates reports on a weekly basis with Tableau and sends those out to the team. And Megan works for a retail organization where they produce different types of beverages. So the data sets that she's working with are quite large, and the reports go out to quite a few people. So that's an interesting discussion around how she uses Tableau to facilitate the work and help people get insights into data. And also, Megan uses Tableau for another type of analytics, which is ad hoc analytics. So something that doesn't happen on a regular basis, but when they have like a promotion or a sales, or their sales representatives go to different stores around the place, and then they call up Megan to find out some information, and she can quickly pull it up from Tableau. So that's also a very valuable type of work that she's doing, and it's going to be very interesting to see how she goes about it. And another thing that you should know about Megan is that she's one of the founding members of the Tableau user group for Northwest Arkansas. So if you're somewhere in that region, then at the end of the podcast, we'll even share the links and you'll be able to catch up with Megan's group. But even if you're not, this is still going to be a great experience for you to see how being part of such a community of either Tableau users or analysts or data scientists interested in other tools can be very beneficial and can help support your learning. And without further ado, I introduce to you Megan Putney, an up and rising Tableau expert. Hi everybody, welcome to this episode of the Super Data Science Podcast. Today I have with me Megan Putney, who is one of the founding members of the Tableau user group in Northwest Arkansas, United States. Hi Megan, how are you today?
I'm good, thanks so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it, I'm really excited.
Thank you so much, because the way we met was very like random and interesting at the same time. Megan reached out to me to find out some materials for her group, and I was very fascinated that this group exists and that Megan is actually running it, because rarely you see people doing things like this so selflessly and to help out the community. So Megan, can you tell us a little bit more about how you got into running this Tableau user group in your region?
Sure. So one of my old colleagues reached out to me and said, hey, I know you love Tableau and you're very good at creating scorecards and things and you have such a passion for it. Would you be interested in coming and joining this founding group of Tableau users in Northwest Arkansas? And so I went to the group and we discussed what we were going to cover in our first meeting. And we had our first meeting last week, expected about 10 people to show up, and we got about 40. Wow. Everyone thought they were on their own island using Tableau, but in fact, there's a lot of people here in Northwest Arkansas using it. And it's so great to have, you know, people to bounce ideas off of, and really you get the most use out of the software. So
that's really cool. And so how did you get all those people in one room? Did you put out an ad or something like that?
Yeah, so we have a Facebook page, and then also we have just a user group on the Tableau site. And we did reach out to one of the, I think it's Stout Executive Search, happened to send out an email to their listserv. So that got a lot of word out, and we got a really good feedback response. It was good.
Wow, so it must be pretty exciting. Like, I know you've only had one catch up so far, but what is your vision for this group? Are you going to be running exercises, or are you just going to be exchanging experiences? Like, what do you plan on doing there?
Yeah, we're hoping to show a few exercises, and that's why I originally reached out to you. Is we were hoping to maybe show a small clip of one of the trainings, or just to show an example of something you can use with Tableau. So for an example, we already showed one of the things was mapping custom regions. So within Tableau 10, you're able to, you know, create a custom map of your sales region and understand what's happening with sales there. So we showed an example of how you do that, walked them through it, and then how we applied it, you know, or how examples have of how you might apply that in real life.
Okay, that's really cool. And I'm assuming that from that you're not just, you know, learning Tableau as a fun thing to do on the side. I'm assuming that you use it at work. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's definitely a critical part of what I do. So I created a weekly scorecard where I pull down all the data from Walmart at a store item week level. And then I'm able to quickly answer ad hoc requests from anybody throughout the week with the latest data. So it's been really, really nice to have that resource and to be able to quickly answer business questions.
Oh, that's really cool. And just to rewind a little bit, can you tell our listeners, please, where do you work and what is your role?
So I work for Mike's Hard Lemonade, and I'm a category development manager.
Yeah, so what does a category development manager entail?
So category, when you're speaking category, you're talking the entire section of the store. So when I'm in Mike's Hard Lemonade, which is a flavored malt beverage, and that's part of beer. So when we're talking category, you're talking about growing the entire beer section of the store. You know that if you grow the entire category, you're not just stealing share from one of your competitors, but you're actually letting everyone get a bigger slice of the pie.
What does data allow you to do? So just so that our users understand a little bit better what's going on, what is a single row in your data set?
So yeah, single row in my data set, it's basically what scans through at the register at the store. So you can understand velocity being, you know, dollars per store per week on certain items. So you'd see each item, what it sold by week or and by store. So any way you want to cut that data or sum it up or go into that detail.
Wow, that sounds like a perfect data set for Tableau. Super granular, and then you use Tableau obviously to aggregated to certain levels of detail that you need, right?
Yep.
Okay, that's very interesting. Let's talk a little bit about your background. So Tableau was introduced at your organization. Did you know Tableau before that happened, or is that how you learned about Tableau?
I had heard of Tableau, and I got the free trial at one of my previous positions, but I never really got into it. But then in this role, there was actually someone else who was really, really interested in Tableau, and I was sort of a late adopter, and I wasn't really interested in it. Then I started using Tableau, and at first I was actually really frustrated with the software, and then I was like, I got to take an online course or something, because this is not working out. And that's when I took your course online, and I really... it made it so much easier to understand, and I was able to quickly pick it up because I was getting really frustrated initially. But with the basic beginner course, I was able to understand and quickly build my scorecards.
Oh, well, thank you. That's always great to hear feedback like that. And the things you learned in the course, you were able to apply them right away at your work?
Yeah, I was able to create an access database basically to put all this data into the format I needed. And then put it into this scorecard. And I built up the scorecard using, you know, the different worksheets and then building those into the dashboards and then building dashboards into the story. And so then I have something I can review with my team each week and really understand at a granular level what's going on with the business. So we do like an overview, and then I actually have, you can dig into every state, every region, and then as low as store level data.
And who do those reports go to?
I cover them with the team every week, and then they're able to dig in a little deeper and then send it to the field, and we can get any issues resolved really quickly.
Oh, yeah, that's really interesting. I feel like we're going working a bit backwards in this podcast. It's a bit unusual for me even that we first talked about your most recent hobby and, you know, the Tableau user group, then about your experience and how you got into Tableau. So we're slowly working backwards. So I'm just going to skip right to the very beginning. Can you tell us about your background? Is your background in data science or analytics? And how was the move to this area of work that you're doing now?
I'd say really I have more of a sales background more than anything. So I actually went to the University of Arkansas, got a degree in international business with a major in marketing. So I've kind of been in sales / marketing throughout my whole career. So within university, I actually had two internships with Dan and Yogurt, or as it's known around the world, the known in Australia. So I had a sales internship with them in Arkansas on the Walmart team. And then I had a category management internship with them in New York City, focusing on the white space accounts. So those really small accounts that don't have a ton of IRI data. Within the US, there's IRI and Nielsen. So they're basically the two major data sources.
So with Nielsen and IRI, so just to understand, all the stores in the US, like retail stores, they actually sell data to Nielsen and IRI, and then those companies sell them back to you so you can do analytics. Is that how it works?
Yep, and that's why the systems are usually really expensive, because the data ends up getting marked up because retailers are selling it to IRI and then IRI sells it back to you.
I can understand. I can see how it would be so expensive, and they're in such a great position. There's just two companies in the whole of US, or two major companies, that actually perform this. That's such a good model where they're making money off data. That is awesome. I find that's fantastic.
Yeah, maybe for that, it may not so awesome for our suppliers.
Yeah, totally. Please continue. So you had this experience with the white stores that are not part of the IRI, is that correct?
Yeah, they call them white space accounts. So basically they're just a bunch of those really small stores that are grouped together. They basically say, here's all the rest of the stores. So they get the big stores, but then they have these accounts that aren't really big enough to be accounted for, or they don't sell their data because maybe they don't have a good data recording system. So they kind of extrapolate out what it would be and give an estimate. So basically with that, you know, everyone's focusing on the big accounts, so you don't have a ton of time to understand what's going on in those smaller accounts. So basically my job was to say, create a quick way to update the data from IRI. So with a click of a button, you refresh your data, you click, you know, what time period you're looking at. Then everything refreshes. It says, here's what's going on in your stores. Sales are up. These are the segments that are up. These are the brands that are up or down. This is what's happening in the region. It's a category thing, or it's something that's happening in these stores specifically.
Oh, wow. Fantastic. And just out of curiosity, are those dashboards public, or they're more confidential information within your company?
Yeah, those would be confidential information. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so do you just use Tableau desktop, or do you use Tableau server to deploy them?
I was using Tableau Desktop, and then I just recently upgraded to the Tableau Professional so that I could link into our back data for all of our depletions. Oh. When you talk depletions, it's basically, with beer, it's a three-tier system. So we sell to distributors, and then distributors sell to Walmart. So it adds in a layer of complexity. It's due to old laws that have never been changed in the U.S.
Okay. The distributors must be happy about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I have Tableau Professional now, and then I just enable everyone to use it through Tableau Reader.
Oh, okay. So I see how that works. The question I had is, you came from a sales and marketing degree where obviously you didn't study Tableau, and now you're applying it in your work. Would you say that Tableau is making your life easier, or is it just adding a layer of complexity, so it's just like another tool that you have to deal with on a daily basis?
No, I think Tableau has made my life a lot easier. So usually I would have to pull the data, do it in ad hoc pulls from Walmart system itself, then you have to wait for it to run, and then you can get it back, and then you have to format it. But Tableau, I'm able to have all of that ready to go in an instant. So I'll get calls from all over the country, from, you know, different people calling on different field salespeople calling on Walmart saying, hey, I'm in this store. Are we supposed to have this product? You know, what's the units per store per week on this? And I'm able to quickly filter out and say, hey, this item has X dollars per store per week. It's an awesome item. You should, you know, we definitely need to have it in there.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty cool. So you're becoming like this expert that's known not just in your store where you work directly, but across the whole region where people are starting to call you up. How does that feel?
Working for Walmart, you're always the biggest piece of the pie for your company. So you usually get calls from all the countries. So it's not too much of a change from other roles, but it, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Well, as long as the numbers are good, then you're good. Those are good phone calls.
That's pretty cool. And let's talk more about Tableau. So when did you start learning Tableau? How long ago?
Probably about 3 months ago.
Oh, 3 months ago. So very, very recent.
Yeah, yep.
And you're already creating dashboards, you're already talking to stakeholders. That's very impressive. And tell us, like, how was your journey? So you found out about this tool, you said you were a late adopter, but there was somebody that was already passionate about Tableau in your organization. You obviously installed it. So before you found out about the online courses and you started using Tableau, what were your first impressions? How did that make you feel?
I knew that Tableau had the power to do a lot of things, but some of the ways that you use it aren't really similar to Excel or other things that you've used in Microsoft Office. So there's a bit of a learning curve there. Mm-hmm. So I knew it was possible, but it was really difficult getting to that. And also there is a concern too, with Tableau, you have to make sure that you're aggregating the data in a right way and you've set up your data in the background in a right way so that you're getting a good data output. So, because if you don't have a good input, you're definitely not going to get a good output.
Yeah, as they say, garbage in, garbage out, right?
Yep.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so you had a few challenges. What would you say was like the most challenging thing for you at the very start when you were learning Tableau?
I mean, honestly, I didn't struggle with it a ton at first. Whenever I get frustrated with something, I don't spend a ton of time being frustrated with it, and I just instantly look for a solution. So
that's
I just,
a like, great quality.
The courses.
Yeah, great call. But like, just from your first impressions, first day, what was the most challenging thing?
I guess you just having to set up the whole Access database. So I actually have a set of 5 Access databases that I have to do just because of file size limits. So basically, it's setting up the data was probably the most difficult part of getting it into Tableau because it does have to be in a certain order, like I mentioned.
No, that's good. That aligns very well with, you know, the notion that data scientists spend about 70% of their time setting up the data and only the rest, 30%, performing the analytics and conveying the results. So yeah, that's a good confirmation of that rule. And from there, so then you took the online course. How long did it take you to go through the course? Like, as I remember, it's a 7-hour course. How long did you take? How many weeks to get through the course?
I think I did it within a week. So I just basically broke it down to about like 2 hours a day. And I just did it either at the end of the day or just whenever you have a little bit of time to be able to take it. So you could do 2 hours a day and just knock it out. I knew it was going to be worth it because I was spending so much time on ad hoc requests.
Yep.
So every ad hoc request that came in might take you 30 minutes to an hour. So I knew that if I could get this up and running, it would save me a ton of time. So I really prioritized it and tried to get it done as quickly as I could.
And did you do it during working hours or during your free time at home?
It was a mix. So I probably did half during work and then half at home.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's good. That's, you know, shows determination that you found time in your free time to work on this course. And as you were taking the course 2 hours per day at a time, did you see results? Did you go back to work and were you able to apply some knowledge that you learned right away? Or did you need a few weeks after that to consolidate all everything you learned?
No, I think I applied it right away. I think I will say one of the things I remember distinctly was the revelation of how to zoom in and move around the map. I was like, wow, I didn't even realize that. Was really frustrating just moving around the map. And then just the fact that the little arrow, you can open up the box and then choose whether to zoom or drag or anything like that.
Okay. Yeah, that's a really cool thing. And I think they changed it a little bit in Tableau 10. Like it's a different combination of keys. Now it's a bit different, but still, yeah, it's a very powerful thing to have. And it might be obvious sometimes, right? But sometimes you might like be like, oh, wow, I didn't know this existed. And I still come across things like that in software. All right. So you were able to slowly apply that at work. And did you notice that towards the end of the course, was it easy to keep in mind those skills and remember those skills that you started at the beginning of the course? So this is the questions I'm asking these questions because I think a lot of our listeners will, who are learning online, will really benefit and see the value that you're, you know, you're actually a person who was able to apply these skills in a real world scenario. So the question is, at the start of the course, you learn some things, and then towards the end of the course, you know, there's so much information going at you. Did you start forgetting the things at the start of the course, or how did you go about, you know, concreting that knowledge in and keeping it fresh?
I think it built up pretty well. And then I was using Tableau so often too. I was going back to the same things that I had learned in the course over and over again, day after day. So I think just the repetition of doing it, having, you know, kind of a muscle memory there really helped. And I think it does build on each other. And sometimes I know definitely for Tableau 10, so there was a lot of changes in Tableau 10. One of them was creating the custom geographies. I've actually used the lessons as sort of a resource, and I'll be like, oh, I remember I learned that in this lesson. I'll go through the guide and I'll look for it, and I'll just watch the video again just to refresh my memory.
What you're saying, it's beneficial to have continuous access to this course, that even though you finished it, you can always use it as a reference or a guide when you feel lost in some certain topic.
Yeah, it's been really nice because I like there'll be some times where I know that it's something you discussed in the course, and I'll be like, I know I learned it, but I can't remember it right now. So it's nice to be able to go back and look at it again.
Okay, yeah, totally. So that's how you've learned Tableau so far. And do you feel that your knowledge in Tableau right now is completely sufficient, that you know you're able to tackle any task at work?
I would say there's always something to learn. So I definitely have an advanced knowledge of Tableau, I feel, but there's some things that even have been really nice to be able to, you know, reach out to the Tableau user group when you get frustrated with something. So one of them that Tableau is notoriously bad for is you can't really group time periods very well. Mm-hmm. So example, you can create groups or things like that, but in sales, you generally want to see what your trend is doing. So you want to see a 52-week view. So all right next to each other too. So 52, 26, 13, four and last week, generally like the general time periods you want to see. So you can see if your trends are accelerating or decelerating. And Tableau really has a hard time doing that. So I've been able to reach out to the group and hopefully I'm still working through, but someone had a solution that they, a workaround that they got to be able to put them all on one page. So I'm looking forward to figuring that out.
Okay, yeah, that's there's always these little workarounds, right, that people come up with, and then eventually Tableau gets on their feet, and they actually go and create a new version which accommodates those requests, but it takes some time before those come through.
I think Tableau has been one of the companies that's better about responding to that versus some of these traditional companies that are so big and there's such bureaucracy to get things done. So I think Tableau is a little bit better about moving pretty fast. One of the things I really wanted was custom regions. And then obviously I only started working with it a few months ago, and then I got custom regions. So it was really nice.
Like a dream come true, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tableau is pretty good in that sense. And how do you find the user community? How are responsive? How friendly are they in the Tableau online community?
I honestly haven't reached out much to the Tableau online. I don't really post or anything like that. I usually more just Google something and then I'll end up finding it there on that someone else has already posted the question. So, but as yeah, Northwest Arkansas is always friendly. So everyone's been really responsive here. So it's been good.
Great. So if anybody has any questions about Tableau, go to Northwest Arkansas. Tableau user group. By the way, if you live in somewhere in Northwest Arkansas, maybe find Megan's group. We'll definitely include the links in our episode notes at the end of this episode. Okay, so we've talked about Tableau and how it's a very good tool. And would you say that Tableau, or how would you say Tableau is different to Excel? Like, obviously, a lot of organizations, I'm assuming you have prior experience like creating some visualizations, basic ones, some doing some analytics in Excel. How would you say Tableau is different to Excel?
So I think Tableau is nice because it really has the feature where you can dig down and you can really filter. So I feel like anytime you look at data, you're obviously looking through a filter. So for us, you look at total beer. So what's happening in total beer? Then you look at what's happening in the segments, then what's happening in your brands, and then what's happening in your items. And kind of that same idea of moving from a larger set of data or a more general set of data down to something more specific is something Tableau is really good at doing. So like my scorecards, I can look at, here's what's happening total US, here's what's happening in each region. If there's a region that's down, I can look down to state level. then I can look down to down all the way to store level, and you can actually see maybe it's a certain area that something's going on. But really, it's generally more of the item trends. But you can use that same funnel methodology to really get down to what's happening and really understanding what's going on.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the scorecard. Could you explain that term a little bit, please?
Basically, scorecard, or you could call it a dashboard. So basically just understanding weekly what's going on with the business. I think it's pretty common. Anybody in sales has their Monday morning scorecards that they send out to the team. And you can quickly act on, you know, hey, what happened last week? And is there anything we need to address to change it? So for mine, it just shows the weekly trends, whether we're meeting the plan for each of the buyers, how each of the brands is doing. If there's something you can just easily, it's a very general view that you can dig in deeper to improve.
So these scorecards are like kind of like dashboards, and I'm assuming that you have a lot of data going through your visualizations. Are your visualizations, do you have to update the data sets every time, or are they connected to live data sources?
I don't have them connected to live data source, no. So Walmart data just has, you can pull daily data from Walmart, but in general, I only pull it weekly. There's no need to really pull it at a daily level.
So you only need the weekly data, right?
Yeah, there's enough opportunities in the weekly data that there's not sufficient need for everything to pull it at the daily level. So I generally just pull weekly, and then we work off that. So it gets updated every Monday. So I think the data is pretty real time. So it's good.
Okay. You've mentioned that these scorecards, that they go out to many different people. Can you share a bit of your experience on how you go about the data ink on your visualization? So things that are not related to data. So how do you pick the colors? How do you maybe format the visualizations to make them look better for your audience? How do you place the different elements into your scorecard? How do you go about thinking about these things?
Sure. So for brands, we definitely use the brand colors, which make a lot of sense. We're, you know, Mike's Hard Lemonade is yellow. Mike's Harder is usually black. It's our more younger brand. It's more masculine. So I use black for that one. Palm Breeze is light blue. You go by the logo colors and then sales up or down generally. So, I mean, I try to keep it simple. So not too many colors, but brand colors is generally the main thing. And then whether you have a negative, generally you try to highlight that.
Do you include a logo in those dashboards as well?
I don't have a logo. Okay. I haven't gotten that far in Tableau yet. I don't know how to add a logo in.
All right. Okay. So that was very interesting. And what are your aspirations for learning Tableau going forward? Is there any topics that you really want to learn about?
I still feel like there's so much you can do with Tableau that I really haven't even though I do a lot with it every day, every week. But I think I don't know what the topic is, but I know it's probably out there. So I don't have anything specific, but the time periods is for sure one that I'm looking into.
There's definitely a lot. Like even I catch myself sometimes that I haven't, you know, I don't know this particular methodology or this technique or how to create this visualization. Even just with Tableau, you can just keep learning and learning and learning all the time. And by the time
I thought about looking into SQL too, because I'm starting to run into like data, obviously file limitations. So I was thinking of looking into SQL, but I really don't. I'm not a coding kind of a person. So Tableau is about as deep as I have access. But other than access in Excel, I really don't get like into coding or anything like that. So it's nice that Tableau does that for you in general. So yeah. I had to find a way around that. So maybe it's more of how I'm building my data. I know that can be a lot more efficient. So
yeah, totally. And how large are your data sets?
Usually it's over 2 million, I think.
Wow.
Say you have around 100 items, and then there's around 4,000 Walmart stores, and then you do weekly by store. So 52 times 4,000 times 100.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's quite a rich data set that you're working with. What would you say has been the most useful technique for you in Tableau?
Being able to build hierarchies is pretty interesting. So the hierarchies of your brand information. So even if you just say brand, and then it goes down to your pack count and your down to your product, What's really cool is you can put that into your table and then it will show the brand totals. And then you just click on it and it will show you one level deeper. So then I can see like, oh, how are my variety packs doing versus how is my all the six packs doing? And then you can go one level deeper and see how each of the actual items are doing. And you can even add in UPC. So even if there was, you know, something that maybe had two different UPCs on it or something, you could go down to that deeper level as well.
What's a UPC?
It's the code that scans at the register. So whenever you're at the grocery store and they scan the UPC.
Basically. Oh, okay.
That's what it allows. Yeah, it allows you to purchase things.
So that's a really cool feature of drilling down. And what would you say is the one thing that people that are starting to learn Tableau should look out for and should like, maybe what is the one thing that they should focus on because it's important and the one thing that they should look out for because it's like a underwater stone that can, you know, can put them off from learning Tableau?
Yeah, so I'd say the one thing to really watch out for Tableau is to make sure that you have your data built correctly in the back end. So making sure that you don't have duplicate UPCs or anything like that, because Tableau is just, it aggregates everything. So you're going to get overstated data or something like that. Also, I would watch out for having filters. So Tableau generally filters across everything. So sometimes if you have your filters hidden, and you don't keep good track of which filters are filtering which pages, you can be like, why are our sales down this much? And then you realize like, oh, I'm filtered on this one product or I'm filtered on this one week and I'm not showing last year's weeks or something.
Yeah.
So I would say be aware of filters and which pages they're on and also be aware of how you built your data in the background to make sure you're getting the right output.
When you were talking about that filters the UPC duplication in your data, it felt like you've encountered that situation yourself. Is that correct? Have you had some like near misses with Tableau?
I do a lot of data checks. I mean, if I did have one, before I send it out, I always like to check a few stores and just make sure everything, could do a gut check on it. I think when I was first building it, there was probably some of that. And then I realized, oh, I had to build my data differently. So yeah, during the process of building it, I definitely had to do that. So I generally use just a store UPC combination though. So that generally helps. And it's just the way you build your access databases. I had a few different tries and I got it right. So
okay.
Eventually.
Yeah, that's good. And you brought up a very important concept of doing spot checks. I worked at Deloitte previously and it's an important thing that they focus on quite a lot, that not only you should double check the count of rows is the same and in the original data set and then you're modified and then in what you imported into Tableau or whatever other tool you're using, but also when you're actually done with the analysis, it's a very good idea to go into the results and spot check certain things, especially if there's like a store that's nearby you or a store you know a lot about that you have this intricate understanding of their store and you spot check the result and then you'll see something and you might think, oh, there's no way that their revenue can be over $1 million, or there's no way that, you know, they had a loss in this month because I know they had a profit and because I know the manager there, things like that. And it's always good to check these things when you're running the results. And I shall give you an example of maybe this will give you an idea for the future. You might sometime apply this. Like when I was doing segmentation models, I would do a spot check, which was kind of a bit of a different type of spot check, or it was a check for just that things make sense. And if I had like a list of 10,000 people that I was doing this test for, the segmentation, I would take their phone numbers and I would take the last digit of their phone number. So not the first, but the last digit of their phone number. And I would look at the distribution of the last digit. Or the people across last digit. So I'd build a chart where on the x-axis it's 0, 1, 2, 3, up to 9. And on the y-axis it's the number of people that have that last digit. And obviously that distribution, if the data set is not rigged, that distribution has to be has to be uniform, right? So every number should have approximately the same amount of people that have that number in their mobile phone. And that was kind of my spot check. And, you know, maybe you could do something similar with the UPCs. You could create a distribution, look at the last digit in the UPCs and see if that is uniform or not. Well, how does that sound?
That's interesting, that method. So generally, I check directly with the Walmart data and make sure that matches up. And more of what I have an issue with is there's always stores opening. So there's stores opening every week. So generally, I have a find item not like a not matching query in Access. Mm. So then I can make sure that that's how I do my checks basically, is I find the missing UPCs. Is there anything that doesn't match? And is there any store numbers that don't match? So I usually work around it that way. So as long as I look in, as long as it matches directly from a retail link pull, then, and those all match, then I'm good to go.
Okay. Yeah. That's very important to do spot checks on your data sets and results. All right, so that was very interesting. And can you tell us or share with us, if you're able to disclose, what is the most recent win that you've had using Tableau in your day-to-day role?
Sure. So there's a lot of information that we get from our salespeople. So, you know, field sales, they're boots on the ground. They're in the stores day in, day out. They know what's going on. So what's really interesting is Sam's Club, which is owned by Walmart, a lot of times they build them extremely close to Walmart's. Sometimes they even share the same parking lot. And we know that whenever we run demos in a Sam's Club, we will see an increase in sales in the Walmart just because the demo is run in the Sam's Club.
That's really cool.
Yeah, what's interesting there is I was able to basically geocode all the stores and understand what the distance between the longitude and latitude was of these stores to figure out which of those stores shared parking lots, and then take the sales data to understand what our lift was for those stores. So you can say, hey, this demo not only helps the Sam's Club, but it also improves our sales in the Walmart right next to it. So it's another benefit to help sell in those demos for the Sam's Club.
Okay, very interesting. So can you walk us through a little bit about the way you thought? How did you come up with this solution to this somewhat complex and seemingly impossible business challenge?
I mean, a lot of times you just hear what's going on, and then you think, I wonder if they would be helpful to have quantitative data behind that. I already had all the Walmart stores geocoded, and I knew that it was possible to geocode the Sam's stores. And then I looked online, Google is a fantastic resource.
Yeah.
Just looked up how to find difference between longitude and latitude. And I was able to, you know, click through a few links, and I found an Excel formula that could calculate the distance. And then I was able to put that into my file, and then say, if the distance is less than 1 mile, then it's next to it. And then I could take that group of stores and create that custom group and then compare it against the other stores.
Oh, okay. That's a very interesting solution. So you actually found, like, algorithmically determined which stores are next to each other. And from that, so you didn't have to like place them manually on the map or select them manually. Everything was done through a formula. Is that correct?
Yep, that's correct.
All right. And so that was a very interesting example of a successful project that you've had using Tableau. And what would you say is your one most favorite thing about being empowered with Tableau in your day-to-day role?
I love just like the depth of insights you can get so quickly. So with Tableau, like I said, there were so many ad hoc questions I was getting that were taking me much too long of a time to get those done. But being able to really dive into any question very quickly is nice. Also looking into demographic data. So Walmart has obviously a wealth of data, and I'm able to use some of that to understand what's happening in groups of stores. So if we know a group of stores is a, you know, more affluent group of stores, we can understand how certain products perform. So you understand, this group of products performs better in affluent stores. This group of products performs better in stores that are near a lake. This group, and there's all sorts of traits that you can utilize with Walmart's data in order to understand what groups of stores perform better with your product.
All right. Yeah, that's something that definitely Tableau can help you out with. And I can see how that can be useful. And from where you stand with how you're using Tableau in your day-to-day role, like obviously you can see that it's changing the way you perform your work and the way you think about analytics and reporting. What do you see the future of visualization is in organizations? Do you think it'll be adopted more and more by different organizations around the world?
Yes, I definitely think it will. So like we talked about earlier with having IRI and Nielsen and how they have such a wealth of data, but that data comes in and it's not it just is basically a data pool. So it's just a table. They're trying to do more with creating more visuals, but I think they're just so far behind Tableau because of Tableau's size and its ability to be so agile in the market. I think if you had something that was, combined the visualization power of Tableau with the wealth of data of these, you know, huge corporations, I think that would be amazing. And that would really change the whole consumer product goods industry for the better. So, I mean, I think visualizations are definitely here to stay. No one wants to look at a table of data. They want to look at something visually appealing that they can quickly understand what the insight is there. So that's what I try to do from a day-to-day basis is I try to make data look pretty.
Yeah, definitely. And that's very in line with Tableau's mission, that their mission is to help people see and understand their data. Seeing data is a very new, I wouldn't say new concept, but a concept that's getting a lot of traction now because there's so much data. It definitely is important to be able to see it. And leveraging on that question, how do you find the different parts of working with Tableau? Which do you find more complex? Is it the creating the visualization or is it the conveying the insights to the people that are asking for them?
They actually are one and the same for me. So I created that, like I said, the Tableau story. So what I do is I already have all of those visualizations kind of ready to go in that, like I spoke about, the funnel. So here's what's going on Total US. Here's what's going on with your brands and being able to funnel down deeper and deeper. So I kind of have a set story that I have the visualizations. We just do a quick 1 hour download on Monday mornings to say, hey, here's what's going on with the category. And then it's a nice start to the week. You understand what's going on and where your biggest opportunities are. So one in the same, and Tableau has really been really great in making that possible.
Yeah, I'm really glad to hear how you're using Tableau at work. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners will find this valuable as a great example of how in a short 3 months, you've picked up such a complex tool and you've already started applying it and it's making your life easier and you're seeing great results. So thank you very much for sharing all of that. It was fantastic having you on the show. And just for our listeners, how can they contact you, follow your career? And of course, how can they find this Arkansas Tableau user group?
You can reach out to me on LinkedIn. So just Megan Putney and our Tableau user group. I would just look for it on the Tableau website, or we do have a Facebook page if you're here local in Northwest Arkansas. Otherwise, we do have an email. Once you come to a meeting, you can get on the email listserv.
Okay, sounds good. We'll definitely include all of those links to the group on Tableau, to the Facebook page, and to your LinkedIn. Thank you so much. And one final question. What is your one favorite book that you think can help our listeners become better data scientists or data analysts?
Sure. So my book is not necessarily exactly data related, but I think it helps a lot in different things that you do every day. So the book is The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg. So what was really interesting, one of the stories that stuck out to me in this book was he worked as a reporter in Iraq, and he found out that the military was actually able to break up riots simply by banning food trucks from selling in the plazas. And it turns out that riots actually form over time. And people get hungry, and so they need the food trucks. So by taking away the food trucks, they were able to stop these riots from continually occurring. So I kind of like that example of something that you wouldn't necessarily think is causing something else to happen. And I feel like in data, a lot of times it's the same way. So it's something so innocuous, but really it's causing like this huge effect on your data. And I think that's really interesting.
That's a great example. I have to ask. So those trucks, did they actually still feed the people, or what did they do with the food?
Oh, I don't know. They just weren't allowed in the plazas where everyone gathered, so they had to go elsewhere to get the food.
Let's assume they went elsewhere. But yeah, I haven't read the book in full, but I've had opportunities to get acquainted with some of Charles Duhigg's principles. And I really in addition to what you said, that it's very similar to how data insights can sometimes come, or dependency can sometimes come from where we don't expect. This book is actually just a great read to develop certain habits. And he talks about rewarding yourself, going to the gym and then actually eating chocolate after that. And you do that for, 60 days. And then after that, you don't even need the chocolate anymore, but you still, you've trained yourself. And he talks about as well, I like how he talks about the willpower, that it's like a muscle, right? If you use your biceps throughout the day, you'll get tired. Same thing with willpower. At the start of the day, willpower is very strong, and that's why it's much harder to go to the gym in the evening when you come back from work, when you're very tired and so on. So he says that, you know, you have to train your willpower as well throughout the day so that you have more of it. And it's normal if you feel that you're losing willpower towards the end of the day or after doing some strenuous activities or like mind activities as well. So yeah, great book. Thank you for that recommendation. I'm sure our listeners will, those who pick it up will definitely benefit from that. And once again, thank you so much for coming on the show. It was a pleasure to have you here.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
All right. Bye, Megan. Good luck. Best of luck with your Arkansas Tableau user group.
Thanks.
Bye. So there you have it. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast and you picked up quite a few new things. Personally, for me, it was very impressive to see how Megan went from not knowing Tableau at all to knowing it at that level at which she is right now, just in 3 months. What a way to learn a new tool. What a way to get knowledge from the online resources that are available to everybody. So if you are looking to learn a new skill, if you're looking to learn a new tool, then just remember this story and remember that you can go and pick it up online. You don't have to go and do a degree. Doing a degree can be beneficial, without doubt. But sometimes if you just need a specific tool, a specific skill, it's worthwhile looking online and finding out if you can get to the right resources and maybe you can pick it up online. Just remember this story that it is possible, it can be done, and it can be done very, very quickly, just 3 months as you could see. And so a big shout out to Megan for coming on the show and sharing her insights with us. Definitely check out their user group, especially if you're in the Northwest Arkansas area. They'll be happy to have you. Even if you don't know Tableau, but you're into analytics, I highly encourage you to check them out. And Tableau is a very good skill to pick up in any case. And plus, you get to hang out with some incredible people. As always, you can get the show notes at www.superdatascience.com/12. And there you will find the transcript for this episode, all of the links to the materials we mentioned, and a URL to Megan's LinkedIn. So go ahead, connect with Megan and follow her career. And finally, if you're listening to this podcast on iTunes, then please make sure to like us and rate us. It will really help us spread the word about the show. And thank you so much for your time today. I look forward to seeing you next time. Until then, happy analyzing.